The white stucco villa perched on the Kent coast stands as a monument to grief. Inside, Nina Swan and her children Ash and Arlo sift through photographs spread across their antique dining table, snapshots of a vibrant life now extinguished. Patty Swan, Nina's husband and celebrated restaurateur, had been pushed onto train tracks by a stranger named Joe Krittner just months earlier. At 54, Patty had been the embodiment of vitality, perpetually tanned, infectiously enthusiastic, the most uncomplicated human being in the world. His magnetic presence had filled rooms with warmth and laughter, transforming even ordinary gatherings into celebrations. 2 months after the funeral, while sorting through condolence cards, Ash discovers an elegantly penned note from Nick Radcliffe, who claims to have worked alongside Patty years ago at an exclusive Mayfair restaurant. Nick's message is warm and specific, mentioning their recent reconnection at Patty's Whitstable restaurant mere weeks before his death. When Ash suggests visiting Nick's upscale London wine bar to hear stories about her father's early career, she notices her mother's subtle reaction, a stiffening of the shoulders, a smile that doesn't reach her eyes. Nearly a year later, Nick has woven himself into their lives, appearing at their door with carefully selected flowers and vintage champagne, displaying the same polished hospitality skills that were once Patty's trademark. While Ash finds Nick charming, she can't shake the feeling that his growing presence comes too soon after her father's death. Behind closed doors lies a disturbing reality. This man maintains a facade of marital affection while plotting deception. "I kiss my wife each morning as part of the illusion." He diverts his wife's money to non-existent pensions and secretly messages other women. To different women, he presents different identities: Alistair to Martha, Nick Radcliffe to Nina, Jonathan Truscott to Tara, and Damien to Amanda. For each, he crafts elaborate lies about his background, career, and finances. When Martha notices his missing wedding ring, he claims he left it at a hotel gym. When she discovers money missing from her business accounts, he tearfully blames his mother's illness and dangerous people from his past. Haven't we all encountered someone whose stories seem too perfect? Someone with plausible explanations that still leave us uneasy? The most dangerous predators aren't strangers lurking in shadows. They're charming individuals who slip past our defenses with practiced ease. Ash grows suspicious after seeing a pink box at work identical to the one containing her father's Zippo that Nick had found. With Jane Trevelli's help, she investigates Nick, discovering the Mayfair bar never heard of him. They uncover his true identity as Justin Warshaw, a Cambridge life coach who financially manipulated clients. Justin had lied about being unmarried. He'd lived with wife Laura and two daughters in Cherry Hinton. His former landlady describes him as a psychopath who scammed Laura through gaslighting and love bombing. Meeting with Joe Krittner, her father's killer, Ash confirms her fears. When shown Nick's photo, Joe's physical reaction, trembling hands, dilated pupils, panic, identifies Nick as the silver man who orchestrated Patty's murder. Joe reveals how this well-dressed man with silver cufflinks paid him after fabricating a terrorism story about Patty, exploiting Joe's untreated schizophrenia. The revenge plot began when Patty rejected him for a sommelier position, dismissing him as another trust fund boy playing at work. His obsession later transferred to Ash, whom he stalked throughout London. Martha methodically dismantles Al's lies in Folkestone. The restaurant where he claimed to work is becoming a Turkish barbecue. Following her husband's tracker, she discovers an impressive clifftop property with channel views. Through windows, she sees photos of a dark-haired woman with two teenagers and images of Patty Swan. The devastating truth emerges. Her husband isn't just having an affair. He's with Nina Swan, Patty's widow, adding another cruel twist to his deception. Ash's meeting with Emma Greenlaw uncovers another victim. Emma's mother, Tara, had married the same man under his alias Jonathan Truscott. After separating, Tara tracked him to the Cotswolds, confronted him in Tooting, and then vanished after boarding a train to Reading. Emma describes the familiar pattern, altered communication, suspicious reconciliation messages, and claims about starting a new life in Portugal. When Nina finds Nick missing, doorbell footage shows a blonde woman arriving before Nick leaves with his rucksack. Ash finally reveals everything, and Nina believes her daughter, expressing deep remorse for her earlier skepticism. Martha, Nina, and Ash orchestrate a plan to confront the serial manipulator. Martha messages him as a desperate wife, revealing enough to make him nervous without showing her full hand. After manipulating another victim, Nick decides returning to Martha poses the least risk. He arrives at Martha's cottage where she plays her part perfectly, suggesting they meet at Banggate Pavilion. Before leaving, Nick stuffs his jacket with cash and his emergency escape pack. At the deserted cove, Nick ironically contemplates a legitimate future with Martha as they walk across the dunes, her grip both gentle and inescapable. Inside the cold pavilion, Nick's world collapses. He faces an assembly of his victims: Emma, Nina, Laura with young Lola, Amanda's grief-stricken sons, and multiple stalking victims. The group, connected through a Facebook page, Don't Let Him In, represents just a fraction of those he's harmed. When confronted, the man feigns innocence until Nina reveals his true identity as Simon Smith and privileged background contradicting his fabricated tales of abuse. Enraged, he attacks Emma before fleeing into the sea, disappearing beneath the waves. The group watches in horror as Simon vanishes into the gray waters. His sons search desperately until the women call them back, fearing hypothermia. Emergency services find no trace of the man they knew by many names. The epilogue reveals Simon's first wife watching him arrive in her Algarve village. She confesses to helping fake Tara's disappearance and disposing of her body near the M25. After years of empty promises, she's ready for atonement, stepping aside as plainclothes detectives emerge to arrest him. Ash returns from Banggate Cove shocked, disposing of Nick's leftover curry as the final reminder of his presence. Nina maintains a brave face, declaring they'll both be great, with conviction that's partly genuine, partly performative. Nina quickly formulates a plan, finding a business partner for Patty's restaurants and selling their house for a beach apartment. For Ash, this physical change mirrors her emotional journey as guilt over her father's death begins to lift. Nick's letter proves transformative, suggesting her perception of family perfection was perhaps a facade. When Nina finally shares everything, their relationship fundamentally shifts. Ash realizes she's no longer just a child needing protection, but an adult capable of handling complex truths. Manipulation exploits our desire to trust others' goodness, especially when we're vulnerable. The real lesson is about courageously facing uncomfortable truths and rebuilding after deception. When we remove our masks and see others clearly, we create authentic connections that manipulation cannot penetrate.